You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter.
Good morning and welcome to Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. John Easter with you here on this Friday morning. It is so far a good morning out there. A little chilly, but you know, we're in that part of the year where it's like get on the roller coaster. You never know what it's going to be by the hour. So we are in that situation this morning. So welcome to the show. Give us a call at 317-244-9234. And that is our phone line. You can also email me at Wayne Township, so it's a really long email, john.easter@wayne.k12.in.us. We don't throw those out there every day, but if you want to tell us how we're doing on the show, let us know. You can also follow us on social media at WBDGIndy, and we've got a bunch of stuff up there. Just updated our internet, what am I trying to say? We just updated our marathon thermometer, where we've now raised $240 towards the WBDG 60 marathon, which is coming up in about a month. So we've got a lot going on this week. So we've got a guest, and he's got stuff and things to do. So we're going to go ahead and do. All right. So what is on the big board this week? We've got some great things coming on. The Bridgeport Masonic Lodge is having its drive-through fish fry tonight from 5 to 7. That's over at Morris and Bridgeport Road. The Krannert Park Spring Photo Sessions are tomorrow from 10:30 a.m. to 2:15. You do have to register. It's up to a 30-minute session, and you get 10 high-quality photos. So if you've been, you know, it's like the old days when I was a kid. There used to be a place called Olin Mills, and you used to go, and they had, like, some really bad library background, and you know, so you got your pictures done, and it wasn't what the cost is here. So call 317-327-7375 or visit parks.indy.gov to register. There's a spotter talk from the National Weather Service on March 25th at the IMPD East District headquarters at 6 o'clock p.m. That you can become a trained weather spotter and help save lives. We had that horrible tornado up in northern Indiana. So you can help save lives and become a weather spotter. Mary Riggs Center, in association with Bella's Moda Academy, easy for me to say, is offering free haircuts on Tuesdays from 9 to 1 p.m. More information or how to register, call 317-639-6106. And if you need help filing your taxes, you can contact Indiana 211 and get free tax help. And ladies and gentlemen, that is... And I never really credit who helps us with all of this information, but shout out to Jeb Barden, the Wayne Township trustee, and his newsletter. That's where we get a lot of these things every week. All right. So now we switch gears. We welcome in Bryson Hill this morning. Bryson, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning. Glad to be here on my second appearance of Voices of the West Side.
So, yes, it is.
Glad to be here, but it's not about me this morning, Mr. Easter.
Well, we welcome in the brand new football coach here at Ben Davis High School, Coach Brett Cooper. Good morning. See, our studio audience is already.
I love it. Good morning, guys. Thank you for having us.
No, thanks for being here. And you know, for the last 40 plus years, close to 50 years, Ben Davis football has been one of the top programs in Indiana, winning 10 state championships and many, many games, and under the leadership of legendary coaches like Dick Dullahan and Mike Kirshner and others, Tom Allen, you know, Jason Simmons, we can go right down the list with Russ Mann. The Giants have won 10 state championships since 1987. Of course, most recently in 2023, after last season, Coach Russ Mann resigned his position, and he's now the head coach at Lawrence Central, which should be interesting in the mix. But that brings us now to today's guest, and again, we welcome Coach Brett Cooper. So welcome to Voices of the West Side. How are you doing this morning, Coach?
Great. Excited to be here. We've got a busy day in front of us, but this is a great way to kick off the morning.
Yeah, you said you have the coaching clinic today.
Yeah, so today is the second day of the Indiana Football Coaches Association football convention clinic, kind of get together for all coaches across the state of Indiana. And really, it's, you know, you got all the coaching clinics that go on throughout the off season, but this one really focuses on Indiana coaches. College coaches come in, and it's all the speakers are Indiana, either college or high school coaches.
That's awesome. So it's a good chance to network, I'm sure.
Oh, awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Bryson?
We mentioned, obviously, 10 state championships, very historic program here at Ben Davis. What are you most excited about this opportunity? I know it's very vague, but you get the opportunity to take this job. What are you just the most excited about to coach Giant football?
Yeah, I think if you go anywhere in the Midwest, probably the country, and you put the BD on your chest, it's going to be recognizable. And so to get an opportunity to coach at a school that has historic tradition such as Ben Davis, I mean, this is a one-of-one job, not only in the state of Indiana, but like I said, it, arguably across the country, it's one of the top jobs. So that's one of the best things, that you're going to get amazing resources, great people, and obviously a rich tradition of success. And with that comes expectations, and I think that's awesome. As a head coach, we really want to live in a world that people expect a lot out of you. Mm-hmm. And that's an awesome opportunity for us and my family to come to the West Side and be a part of BD football.
Are you how are you dealing? I mean, how are you viewing the pressure? Obviously, historic program. Is it just another day in the another day on the job for you?
Yeah, it really is. It's just, you know, some of it initially is a lot, but once you get into it, kids are kids, football's football. We're going to run our program the way we've always run it. And we're just going to incorporate our day-to-day operation here at BD.
So, Coach, you come into this job, and you do have several years of experience as a head coach, as an assistant coach. But going kind of back to where it started for you, just kind of take us through your journey from high school to right here where you are now.
Sure. I actually played my freshman year of high school at Evansville Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously in Southern Indiana. My dad was a head football coach at the University of Evansville. Then they shut the program down, and we moved to the northwest side or west side of Chicago. And my dad restarted a football program up there, College of DuPage. Ironically, they were just in recruiting on Tuesday. and I went to Glenbard South and then played three sports there, and then went to North Park University, where he was also then the head coach. And so it was an awesome experience to play for him. And I played football and baseball at North Park. From there, I graduated in 2007. And I'm not going to say the name of the other school where I started my career, but it was on the other side of town in different colors.
Might have been called Bourne. But okay.
Maybe.
I know they don't say Ben Davis over there.
Correct. And I'm not going to say those words here either. So I find it really ironic, though, that it was probably two or three days starting here in the here before I get back to where I was coming from, that my first ever interview to be a coach was here.
Oh.
And it was in now my office with Coach Kirshner.
Yeah.
In 2007. So it took me a couple of days. I was like, man, this looks really familiar. And then I walked in and I was just like, oh my gosh, that was my seat on the other side of the table. And it looks exactly the same as it did, you know, almost 20 years ago. So yeah, from the other school, I always wanted to coach college football. I mean, that was in my bloodline. That's kind of what I've always thought I was going to do. And then I went to University of Indianapolis as a graduate assistant. A great experience. Worked for Coach Polizzi and Coach Bartolomeo, but really thought that high school was a better setting for myself and had more impact on what I could do with kids and football. And so I got back in, took a coordinating job at Greenwood High School on the south side. From there, I moved to Ohio and worked at Cincinnati LaSalle. And we won a state title in 2014, and our head coach at that time took the Massillon, Washington job up in the northeast corner, which is, you know, I always joke that place is a different universe because mm-hmm. it's Texas football in the Midwest in the middle of, you know, old steel town. And so we went there for 2 years and really learned from him. And that's Nate Moore, that he was the head coach, and he taught us as coaches how to be head coaches. And it was an awesome experience. I worked for a lot of good people in my time, and he led me to like, okay, hey, I'm ready to be a head coach now. I've coordinated long enough. I feel like I've got a good idea of how to run a program. Obviously, you never do until you actually do it. But then I came back and I took the job at Indian Creek in Trafalgar. And then, you know, I'm not from per se Indianapolis. I say I'm from Indiana. And so we kind of took a risk on a job that had been struggling at Perry Meridian, and we really wanted to put our name out there to honestly to be sitting in this seat right now.
Right.
And so, you know, we didn't go win a state title at Perry Meridian, but we took it from, you know, running clocks and 4 wins in 4 years to competitive every Friday night. And I credit those kids because they bought into what we did, and we had a great administrative staff at Perry that really supported what we did. And, you know, I felt, at, you know, I took the Bloomington North job about 8 months ago, so it's kind of weird to transition. But I felt like I had done everything I could do at Perry Meridian. And so we wanted to take another chance to grow. And Bloomington North came open late, you know, early summer, late summer, however you want to declare it. But and then this job opened. I got a phone call, and you're not going to say no to the Giants.
So. Yeah, and I guess I got a bit of a two-parter here. You mentioned, obviously, taking Perry Meridian to competitive football. In these last X amount of years, leading up to this spot, obviously, you're now the head coach of the Giants. What do you think you've learned the most from the last couple years at Perry, or just in coaching in general, being around everyone as an assistant? What do you think is going to help you the most from your previous years to now being the head coach of the Giants?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that young head coaches and guys that are just starting out, they think that there's a mold, like it has to be done this way and it only can be done this way. You've got to mesh what your players can do on a year in and year out basis. And does it look similar? Yeah, sure, but you've got to be able to take what your talent can do in your program and morph that into the structures and schematics on offense and defense and special teams to what they're good at. It's not what I'm good at. That doesn't mean anything. Those are the kids that are playing. We've got to highlight what they're good at. And so I think, you know, really at Perry Meridian, you could go watch us play in the 5 years. And, you know, the last 2 years is probably realistically how I like to play. But the years leading up to that make us competitive, and we were under center pro style offense and running the ball to protect the clock and protect our kids to give us a chance. We were pretty good on defense, but really, you know, to recap, I mean, it's just we've got to find a way to put our kids in the best position, and being in that environment the last couple of years has really helped me grow as a coach.
Yeah, and obviously it wasn't too hot of a season for the Giants this last season. When we look at this team, a younger team, obviously, as the Giants are really kind of going on, what core values and what do you really want to see your players learn over the course of not only just the season, but preseason, starting now, getting to know you? What core values do you want to preach to them, and what do you want them to take, not just into their high school football career, but maybe past whatever is this for them?
Sure. I mean, this is a great question because I'm meeting with senior parents and families right now, one-on-one. We started our first senior parent meetings on Wednesday, and we carry them into tomorrow, starting at 8 a.m. And we talk about this. And our core values in our program, it starts with respect. It's black and white. There's no gray area in that. And we talk about what that looks like on a day-to-day operation. But two, I think, and this is what I tell parents and our players, is the one thing I can offer to kids is in our program is the accountability piece. Like, we're going to hold you to a standard that we believe is going to make you successful, not only in the football program and on the football field, but also in your life once you leave Ben Davis High School. And accountability to me is do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, how you're supposed to do it to the best of your ability. And then on top of that is to communicate. And so communication in football is critical. Like, we're going to give our kids freedom to play on both sides of the ball, but they've got to communicate and they've got to go earn that. But they also have to communicate. Life happens and kids got to speak to us and they've got to talk to us because they're going to walk out of here in, you know, 16 months as seniors, and they're going to be either going into a workforce or they're going to be going into college setting, and they've got to be able to communicate to people maybe they quote-unquote are intimidated by. And I hopefully I'm not intimidating, but like I just say that because sometimes your bosses are. And so the last part of that, which I think is this part is the most critical, is when you do those two things, you're respectful, you're accountable, you build a level of trust. And when you have trust, I don't care how talented you are, if you have a group of kids that we all trust and that they trust the coaches and the coaches trust the coaches and the administration coaches trust the coaches, like you can move mountains with not a whole lot of talent in football because everybody's going to be where they're supposed to be and they're going to be coachable. And so those are really the three things that we look at, we'll talk about on a consistent basis. Now, on the football field, I want to compete and win. You know, if there's a scoreboard available and they're clicking that thing over, we're trying to win. You know, I get upset because my daughter and Audrey and Brooks and my wife, we go to their little basketball games and they don't keep score, and I get a little frustrated sometimes because I'm like, what are we doing? We're putting the ball in the hoop.
Just
like,
playing for nothing?
Yeah,
here?
We're like... just playing a game to learn the game. I'm like, well, the scoreboard's on. Let's put some points up there. But, yeah, our kids will find out pretty quickly that I'm highly competitive, and I hope that rubs off on them.
Well, as you know, some people out there listening, this is Brett Cooper, by the way, the head coach of the Ben Davis Football Giants. And as you know, you're coming from Bloomington North, a place where you were there one season. I think Kyle Nenrip pointed it out in the article that I read that you've kind of had, this is your third job now in a short period of time, but it has been kind of like, oh, you've had these opportunities. And certainly, like you said, you're never going to say no to the Ben Davis Giants when they call you. But when you look at all of your resume, you talk about the college in there. You had the time over there at the Golden Black School in the west, on the east side, that one time was in the same sectional as Ben Davis. I still don't get that alignment, but that's another topic for another day. So you have that. You've coached at Indian Creek, which is a small school. You've coached at UND, which is college. You've coached at Orne, which is a large school. Bloomington North's kind of in the middle there, but in a conference that really, I mean, the Conference Indiana was struggling to kind of stay afloat and stay alive. Now you come into the MIC, which is they're getting the band back together next year. You get Center Grove and Carmel back in here, which is going to make it just that much tougher. But you look at that entire resume that you have, what do you feel you've learned at the different places that you've been that you now take into this job here at Ben Davis?
Yeah, I think the first thing that you recognize is that kids are kids. Like, you can go into rural, urban, suburban, Catholic, non-Catholic schools, private schools. Kids are kids. And there's issues in every place, and there's problems, and there's great parts about every place you can go. But you got to learn what those are. And you've got to learn how to adapt to what those kids need in each school. And being in the vast amount of places I've been, I've got a good grasp on what almost every kid's gone through. From time at my Indian Creek, the smallest school I've ever been at, to the place outside of on the other side of town, like Massillon is very comparable to Ben Davis. It's not nearly the size, but tradition, program expectation, history of football, type of kid that goes to school here, it's very comparable. And so I've always felt like I do my best job in these kind of settings. And this is where I can have my most impact. And so just understanding the kids and understanding what they need to be successful on a day-to-day basis is really a good look at it.
And you know, kind of in this situation here at Ben Davis, where you had Dick Dullahan for so many years here, Mike Kirshner was here for so many years. Tom Allen was here for 3 years and got the opportunity to do what he'd always wanted to do, and that's coach in college. So you have him following Coach Dullahan. You have Mike Kirshner here for a number of years. But now in the last few years, we've had several coaches here. So what is your position on kind of like the stability? Is this where you want to be for a long time, if fans are out there wondering?
Yeah. I mean, we've worked every job.
I mean, I'm throwing that one up for the softball question there.
Yeah,
Coach.
I mean that's every interview question that right. you get. But I mean, it's BD, right? That's why I keep telling everybody. I have positioned myself in my career to get in a position like this, and so to finally get that opportunity, this is a no brainer. This is the end of the road for us as long as they'll have us.
All right.
You mentioned, I believe you said your dad was a coach in college football, correct? Kind of obviously just being around that growing up and stuff and being around that football mindset, I want to say. But do you feel like that affected the way you grew up and now obviously the way you coach football now, seeing maybe how your dad coached? And is there anything from your dad's coaching style that you feel is similar to your style? And anything, maybe positively or negatively, that goes into that at all? Maybe some tactics that you really take from him that you're really proud of, and maybe some other stuff, maybe. But how has your dad being a coach just affected you growing up, and now obviously, you know, being a high school coach all around, pretty much?
Yeah. I mean, this is hard. This is a hard question because obviously I played for him. And then he actually was on my staff at Indian Creek at Perry Meridian for a while. And then we decided it was best for all parties to separate and go our own way. But I'll tell you this. If you go back and ask anybody, he was in his time, he was an offensive mind. And he was really good at what he does. And he's a big rhythm pass guy. But he's also unbelievably sound and understands all schematics of what goes on. I mean, he's 72 now. And he's on our huddle account, and he's sending me stuff every day about, hey, what about this kid? What are they doing here? What was going on there? I was like, I wasn't a part of anything last year. We're just watching last year's stuff. But he's just really good at being sound and getting stuff in the right position. And I'll tell you that my first 5 years as a head coach, without him, I probably would have struggled because I would have taken probably some bad risks at times. And he told me, hey, you just hold off on that. You can do that when you're in a better position. But like, let's learn the game and let's get it coached the right way so the kids are in the best position to be successful. But, I mean, honestly, our coaching styles are completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, he was old school, and I don't want to say Bobby Knight because that's too aggressive in the mindset. But that's kind of how he was. He was just very stern. I'm more emotional. More exciting, more connectable to kids, and you know, he liked to throw the ball around a little bit, but I do too. But I think my emphasis is more in the run game, where his was throwing the ball across the yard.
You know, we mentioned the coachability, and you saying how you're a little bit more energetic and trying to connect with the kids. And I feel like it's one of the things when you say you've always wanted to coach college ball, but I feel like you're able to connect and you're able to teach the kids so much more in high school ball. How have you think that portrays from off into on the field, whatever you teach to them, whatever the message is to them 24 hours to a game, what they take on to the field? For example, like in this season coming up with the Giants, what do you want the messages from off the field to correlate to on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I want our kids to have fun. I mean, this is a game. When it boils down to it, and there's a lot of people that make a lot of money in this game, especially in today's world.
Yeah, especially with NIL and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I want our kids to relax and have fun. But that comes from confidence. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that you can instill in kids. Like, hey, like we're in max outs right now in the weight room. And I'm just, you know, I'm still getting to know every kid and figure out what they're doing. And every kid's win is different. Every single kid's win on the football field is different. Mm. But in the weight room, that's what we'll talk about is like, hey, you're fighting you versus you. Now, out there, we fight an opponent, but you're fighting you versus you. And so it's always an internal battle of, hey, am I giving my best at all times? And I think that's something that we want to take away, because you can't always measure against somebody else, because that's not always fair. You got to measure against what is your best at all time. But I think that's that. I want those kids to relax, have fun, and then play with confidence. But that comes with positive coaching and giving them the ability to have success in their own little circle.
Coach, we've already mentioned his name a couple of times, but anytime you're in that seat as the head coach at Ben Davis High School, there are many coaches that have gone before you, Bob Wilbur, Mike Kirschner. We talked about some of their names, but there's one gentleman that has been very hard to follow, and that is Dick Delahan. Coach D is a legend around here, a legend at Carmel, a legend at Chittard before that. I mean, he has built his career, and you know, you can just go down the line where just some of the numbers are just eye-popping. Of course, Indiana high school football, I think, has changed because of Dick Delahan and what he did here at Ben Davis. When you look at weight programs, and then everybody's coming in and looking at what Kevin Vanderbush did here at Ben Davis. So, like Bryson alluded to earlier, there is a lot of pressure with being the head football coach at Ben Davis, and being, I don't want to say in the shadow of Dick Delahan, because you want to step out and do your own thing, but you have to at least understand that history, which I think sometimes our students maybe don't. They see the years out there on the scoreboard building at the end of the stadium. They see the state championships. So I guess my question is, when you take the kind of the driver's seat of that legacy, what do you hope to do, and how do you hope to bring in alumni, and how do you hope to just use maybe that past history, but yet also step out on your own?
Yeah, I think when you walk into a place like Ben Davis, you've got to understand and honor the tradition and history of what it is. And I will see Coach Delahan here probably in the next hour or so when I get out of here.
Tell him
so
I said hey.
I will. But you also, like you said, you have to put your own stamp on it, right? But I think when you go through and look at tradition, there's a reason why at all levels of sports there's blue bloods, and they follow through with tradition. But the people that take it and continue it still put their own stamp on it. I think one of the things that I'm going to try to do, and I've been trying to do over the past, you know, I've been here about a month and 2 weeks, so about a month and a half, is we're going to try to bring more BD guys back on our staff. And so we're going to have, not everybody, but we're going to have a good chunk of guys that are going to be on our assistant staff that are going to be BD guys that have played here. You know, I tell them in every interview, like, I'm the outsider, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the outsider. So I need you guys to help me learn and grow, and then you guys help network this. You see who I am, and you see what our program is, and then you can go expand that in our community. I think one of the things that we'll also do is, you know, Brian Abney here runs our golf outing, and he also helps with alumni stuff. So we're going to reach out to them frequently and just try to keep them actively involved or at least informed on a weekly basis of what goes on in our football program. You can just walk down the Hall of Champions. I mean, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's other sports, but it's flooded with football. So football's a big deal, and I'm excited to be a part of that.
What do you want I don't want to say message, but I guess sort of message. What do you just want people to think about this Giants team, not only before the season starts, but what these Mick teams will think about you, what these fans are going to think about you, what the listeners, what the Purple Rain, what the students here, the coaches, the athletic staff. What do you want everyone to think about how the Ben Davis Giants are going to play football next season?
Again, great one. This is what I told
him. That's why I had him come in. I knew he was going to ask all the good questions.
I told the kids the first day I met him. I said, when I think of Ben Davis football, I think of a football team that you don't want to play against. And it's not because of schematics. It's not because of we throw the ball, we run the ball, or we run a crazy defense, or we run the – it's because they play a violent version of football, and they're aggressive. And when you walk out of there, no matter what the end result is that you felt BD football. You felt that. And you want to know moving forward, like, man, I don't want to play this team because they're going to line up and they're going to hit us and they're going to get back up and they're going to hit us again. And it's a punish. And I want a football team that's going to punish guys and opponents for for 15 weeks. You know, obviously, we only play 14 now, but yeah, I want a physical football team that
at the scrimmage as well. There you go.
Yes, yeah, count the scrimmage. Yeah, 15. But yeah, a very physical team that nobody wants to play against.
Essentially, what you're saying is you might come away with the win, but you're going to be a little battered and bruised after you play the Giants. Essentially.
Well, we hope we're not playing to lose. There's a scoreboard there.
But yeah, yes, very true.
You don't want to line up and play us, and that's how we're going to practice, and that's how we're going to instill, and that's how we're going to play on Friday.
Lose and be bruised and battered. There you go. Also, though, when we look at I do want to talk. I don't know how well you've got to know him, but I got to know him a little bit in the offseason. He came by here, I want to say October, November, maybe. The freshman quarterback, Gabe Kinnett, he was viewing the WBDG studio and the BDTV studio. And there was question marks before the season. Who was going to start at quarterback for the Ben Davis Giants? And I use Gabe as kind of a segue into this question because obviously we didn't know that. That was a big question mark. As a coach, between position battles and question marks, whether it's the quarterback spot, whether it's whether it's a tackle, whether it's a DB or safety, what are you always looking for in position battles, in practices and scrimmages of who is really going to take that next leap to be the starter or be the backup?
Yeah, I mean, one, Gabe's an awesome kid. I've met him and his family already, so awesome kid. But depth is about competition, right? And so we want guys that can compete on a daily basis. But how do we determine that is when adversity hits, who folds and who doesn't. And we start seeing that. I mean, and you know, we tell kids this all the time. Like, I watch body language in the weight room. Mm. And so when things go bad in the weight room, how are you going to react? And if you react in a negative fashion in there, how are you going to react when there's several thousand people watching you in a big-time game? I look at all phases. I look at a kid that's going to be a competitor. I look at a kid that has physical and mental toughness. And then how do they react to adversity?
Yeah, you mentioned you lead me into another question here. You mentioned when 1,000 fans are watching you. How have you always viewed as a coach going into all of that, whether it's an away or home game, and how much the crowd really helps you?
I like playing on the road. I like going to other people's places and, you know, I'm going to say this, about like taking their soul. You know what I mean? Yeah. I enjoy going on the road. I like playing at home, but there's nothing better than a big-time road victory.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, as you get said. And, you know, you've got – you're already in season. I know even though you're not officially in season, but the preparations begin now. I know the Ben Davis girls basketball team tweeted out something is like, there's no such thing as the off season.
Yeah, I did see that.
And especially in high school sports in the MIC, you know, Center Grove's doing things, they're getting better. I guess this does bring up a question. You know, obviously, and I told Bryson to wrap it up. Here I am asking another question.
All good.
But when you look at kind of the status of the program, where it stands right now and coming in, how do you approach going to the athletic department and say, hey, this is what we need. I've been here. We did this. Maybe we could do some of these things here. Making those changes, how do you go to them and say, you know, this is what I want to do?
Have you met Heather?
I have, yes.
So Heather and I operate very similarly. Uh-huh. So I'm direct. Yeah. Hey, this is what we like, and this is not only like that's what I talk about coaches too. Is like we don't go say, hey, I want this. I want this because this is how it affects our kids in our program. You know what I mean? Not right. Just like, hey, I want to run this play. Well, why? What does that do against our opponent? Or hey, we should run this. Hey, I just want this. No. This is why I want this, and yeah, or why we need this. And and Heather and I will work really closely together on that to do things that, you know, I've experienced that may not go on here that I think can improve our program.
Yeah. Cause you know, like I said, they're doing lots of different things across the MIC, and you have to stay up with that and what's going on. So that question just popped into my head there at the end. Anything else that you'd like to say before we head on out of here and let you get to your to the clinic.
Yeah, no.
Not the clinic here, but the coaching clinic.
I'm supposed to give my wife and my kids a shout out. So hi, Colleen, Audrey Brooks. No, we're beyond excited to be here. We're in no rush to get to August, but we're excited about August because we got a lot of work before then. And if there's any alumni listening, please, you guys are always welcome to show up to any of our spring practices. We start, if you want to come to spring practice, we go 6 a.m. to 7:30 on Tuesdays and Fridays start when we get back from spring break. So, and then we'll start in the summer. But alumni is always welcome in our facility. Doors are never locked. So, we're excited to be a part of this. We can't wait to get rolling and see how the Giants will look in 2026.
Well, before we go, you talk about people just showing up at practice, and this is a little Dick Dullahan story that Jason Simmons told once on Inside Ben Davis Football. They were getting towards the sectional and wrapping up sectional, and coach noticed that there was this car that just came in the fence on the north end of the stadium and just parked right up by the visiting stands. And, you know, he said, I thought, wow, that's, you know, that's something just coming right in here and just park. And then it was Dick Dullahan. He's like, oh, okay, well, you know, he can park wherever he wants to park. Yeah. So you talk about that. It is always good to have people who come back. So good to hear that that's a big cornerstone of what you want to do with the Brett Cooper era of Ben Davis football. It is the 90th season of Ben Davis football this year. So awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun, Coach, and we wish you all the best, and we'll be there. If you need us, just let us know how we can help, too, at WBDG.
All right. I appreciate it, guys. Go Giants.
All right. That's going to wrap up this week's Voices of the West Side. Next week, we have the commissioner of the IHSAA, Paul Neidig, will be our guest, and I think Bryson will be back with us.
I also will be
next week. So
double appearance, back-to-back.
And then we'll round out before spring break with IMPD Police Chief Tanya Terry. So those are the next couple shows. So stay tuned. We'll have updates at WBDG Indy, and that will wrap up Voices of the West Side.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.